one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
Very good, very good. Thank you both for that. There is, as you've probably noticed, no PowerPoint or anything like that today, but there is space if you're a note-taking person, and on a hot day at this time of the afternoon, it may be good to be a note-taking person to help you stay with things. There is a space there. Dave's left a nice big space on the sheets there if you want to do that. We are going to be thinking about prayer. We'll talk about that in a second. Jesus was asked, "Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray." That's what they asked. There in verse 1 of Luke chapter 11, that reading we just had, page 1041, if you've got one of the church Bibles, Luke chapter 11, they asked, "Teach us to pray." And we find Jesus at this point, as he often was, taking time out to pray. And one of his disciples says, "Teach us to pray," because they knew John the Baptist had taught his disciples to pray. They knew that prayer was dear to Jesus, and so they wanted him to teach them to pray. That was what they asked. It's also what we need. What we need. At the start of this month, we saw in another passage in Mark's Gospel, another time when Jesus was taking time out to pray. And Dave took that opportunity to highlight a real issue for us as a church. And some of you might remember, you might still be smarting as I am, because he rightly pointed out to us our prayerlessness. The fact that while we say our trust in God is important to us, our actions as a church often say something different. Our poor attendance at prayer meetings, the lack of interest in prayer updates, those sort of things and others, seem to point to a lack of a sense of dependence on God in prayer. But we know that we need prayer to be a big part of our life, together and individually. As Dave pointed out, we've gone through a very hard time as a church. Many people in our church continue to go through great difficulties. We have an enormous task that we're part of in God's mission to the world. We need prayer. And as individuals, if you've tasted the goodness, the comfort, the reality of coming to a God who hears you and knowing that he hears for you, you'll know how much we need prayer. You know how important prayer is. Teach us to pray is what they asked, and it's what we need. So, it's what we are doing. Over summer, we're looking at a number of prayers from the Bible which teach us how to pray in different ways and in different situations. This Sunday, today, we're looking at the Lord's Prayer. Next week, next Sunday, we're looking at prayers of confession. Then at Thanksgiving, at lament, prayers for growth, and finally. And in all this, we're asking Jesus to teach us to pray through his word. And we're seeking to have him inspire us to pray. As we look at these great prayers of the Bible, we trust God will lift our hearts with a desire to pray. So as we begin that now, as we begin that journey over summer, let's pray together. Let's ask God to do just that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please teach us to pray. Please lift our hearts with that desire to come to you in prayer, that we may be people of prayer, that we may be a church that prays. In Jesus' name. We're going to look at this passage in Luke 11 in four sections. So if you're wanting to take notes and outline and so on, this is it. Four sections. It's in the reverse order to the way it comes up in the passage. So we're starting at the end and going backwards. We're starting with a good father from verses 11 to 13, a good father. And then we'll be looking at ask away from verses 9 to 10. Ask away, verses 9 to 10. And then ask boldly from verses 5 to 8. And then finally, the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, verses 2 to 4. So a good father, ask away, ask boldly, and then the Lord's Prayer. The first three we're just going to touch on quickly to give us background and guidance in how we approach this prayer. And then we're going to dwell for longer on the Lord's Prayer itself in more detail. Let's jump into it. First of all, a good father. At the start of the prayer that Jesus taught, verse 2, he says to address God as Father. And it was quite a radical thing in its time. We might be used to it now, but it was very unusual to God or any deity with the kind of intimacy Jesus did. The title Father was used sometimes by both Jews and pagans, but not in the intimate way that Jesus used it. And at the end of the passage here, in verses 11 to 13, Jesus tells us what it means that we call on God as Father. In short, it means God will be good to us as his children. If a flawed human father like me wants to give good to his children, then how much more can we trust that God wants to give good things to his children? That's the heart of it. We can trust that God seeks our good. He answers our prayers. Even if we don't always understand the way he answers our prayers, just as my children sometimes don't understand the way I answer their requests. I do answer them. They don't always think I answer them the right way, but I am actually seeking. In the same way, we can trust God is seeking our good in the way he answers our prayers. It's worth acknowledging that not all human fathers act in this good way. Bar the majority of human fathers have this instinct to care for their children. But as it says in verse 13, we are evil. We all have evil in us. And some fathers, some human fathers, show that evil in a particularly damaging sort of way or different damaging ways. And so for some of us, the name Father can be marred. Some of us can feel that praying to God as Father is not something that we want at all. The name Father might even inhibit our prayers. If that's your experience of a human father, can I firstly say I'm so sorry? It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. I'm sorry if it is. I can only touch on that painful situation now. Please do feel free to talk to me more about it afterwards if I do touch a nerve. But can I just say this? Human fathers, we might have had. God is a good father. He is what a father should be. He shows fatherly love. He knows how to do good for us. So we can trust the God we pray to. And above all, we see that in the lengths he has gone to in order to save us. By coming to earth in the person of his son, as we've remembered, and suffering and dying to bring us home. He is a good father. He's a good father. And so because he's a good father, more briefly, we should ask away. Ask away. 9 to 10 has this wonderful encouragement to ask, seek, knock. Those words might be familiar from the song Welcome to My World, which was on the Toyota ad in New Zealand for a long time. Great, great bit of Kiwi history. There is this ask, seek, knock of kind of, if you don't ask, you won't get. And we don't always get the answers that we exactly expect or want. Indeed, Jesus himself didn't get the answer he wanted when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane at one level. But even so, having the good Father we have, the right thing to do is ask. And sometimes we don't. Sometimes we just don't ask. We might be too pray. We might be too lazy to pray. We might be too tired. We might be too disillusioned to pray. When you're in one of those situations, these words, ask, seek, knock, they're an encouragement to just get on and pray. Ask. Ask away. And then verse 5 to 8, the story before that, ask boldly. Ask boldly. The story Jesus tells there about the other friend at midnight, it's got quite a bit in it, but the key, being quick here, the key is in verse 8, the shameless audacity of the one who is getting, the shameless audacity of the one who's asking, that's what gets results. I visited Pat Clancy this morning in hospital, and I read this passage to her. I said, we're looking at this afternoon, and I said, the shameless audacity, and she laughed. it's shameless audacity. You can kind of feel the awkwardness of it. But the point, we can have extreme, shameless, audacious boldness coming to our good Father. Sometimes we're a bit timid in prayer. Oh, I can't ask it. I couldn't ask him that. Oh, he'll never do that. God, he'd never. That's too much. Be bold. Even be shameless. My kids ask me for things that no one would, rightly so. But they're my kids. They can ask me. We are God's children. Ask boldly. Who could you pray for that you'd never want to hear of Jesus? They'd never want to hear of Jesus. Be bold. Ask away. What character flaw or sinful disposition in yourself do you think will never change? It's just who I am. It'll never change. I'm like that. Be bold. Ask away. Ask boldly. So we've been encouraged by Jesus that we pray to a good Father, that we should ask away and we should ask boldly. Now we come to the prayer that he taught. So we're going to dig in a little bit more. Verses 2 to 4. This wonderful prayer, the Lord's Prayer, so familiar to many of us, and yet many of us have never really dug into it deeply. And obviously we're not going to go into the depths of it today, but let's dig into what we can. The version here in Luke's Gospel is slightly different and slightly shorter than the one in Matthew's Gospel. And it's the Matthew one which is the basis for the way we usually pray it in church together, or if we pray it in church or in different ways. It's the Matthew one. So this one's a bit different. So looking at it here from Luke should help us to consider it afresh. And there are five requests in this prayer. And they're in two. So five requests separated into two groups, a two and a three. The Lord's fame and kingdom. Two requests for the Lord's fame and kingdom. And then the last three are for our needs in his kingdom. The Lord's fame and kingdom, and then for our needs in his kingdom. So, the first group, the Lord's fame and his kingdom. The first thing Jesus tells us to pray is halfway through verse 2, hallowed be your name. Hallowed. This is a request which expresses the desire for God's name to be hallowed. To be treated, that means, as holy. His name to be lifted up, to be revered. It's a prayer that people would recognize how great and wonderful our good Father is. In one sense, this is a prayer for God to become more and more famous. More and more famous. We saw it powerfully expressed in Psalm 67, which John read, where the writer of the psalm passionately desires all the nations to see God's greatness. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. And wonderful words. And that praise, that can be even greater now than in the time the psalm was written. Because now, people can see the wondrous love and holiness and justice that God has shown us in Christ. In Jesus' life, which displays what God is like. And even more, in Jesus' death and resurrection, where God's saving love meets with his desire for justice and to deal with evil. In Jesus, the praise is even greater. So of course we would want to pray for all to see this, to recognize it, for God to get the glory that he deserves. Hallowed be your name. And then, your kingdom come. In some ways, this is a follow-on to hallowed be your name, a prayer for the coming of the kingdom of God. And that, of course, means that more people would come under his kingship and come more fully under his kingship, submitting to him as their Lord, their ruler, their king, so that he would be honored as he deserves to be. And when that happens, that in turn brings goodness for the world, because God's ways are ultimately good. After all, he's God, so he knows what goodness is better than us. So people submit to his kingship, and that's good because he deserves it. And it's out to be good for people because God's ways are good. Your kingdom come. We can pray that for the world, obviously, for this world, for his kingdom to come more and more, for more and more people to come under his kingship. But also we can and should pray it for ourselves, that we, that I would more and more come under his kingship, that I would reflect his kingdom in the way I live, that I would reflect his rule in the way I live. We as a church would do that. We should pray for that. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. And did you notice? This is how the Lord's Prayer starts. The fame and kingdom of God come first before our needs. Is that how your prayers start? I've been convicted by this. At the front of my mind, when I come to prayer, is usually what I need. It's the first thing in my mind. Now, that's better than not praying at all. But Jesus teaches us to pray with the things of God front and center. It doesn't mean that our needs are unimportant. Jesus will come to those in a second. But it's worth considering whether our priorities in prayer are around the right way. God's fame, his kingdom at the front. Because that ought to be, and if it's the best when it is, our passion, our desire. So there's a prayer for the Lord's fame and his kingdom. Wonderful thing about this, if you ever feel like you don't know what to pray for, you can always pray for this. God's praise deserves to be treasured more and recognized more, and God's kingdom always needs more. So we always have something to pray for. Isn't that freeing? You'll always have something to pray for. But there's more. Next, Jesus teaches us to pray for our needs in the kingdom. Our needs in the kingdom. That's verse 3 to 4. There's three requests here for our needs in the kingdom. Firstly, for our daily bread. Our daily bread. This is a recognition that our sustenance each day ultimates from God. Some people in our world are very aware of this because they don't know where tomorrow's food is coming from. But for most of us here, that's not the case. So we especially need to realize all the good that we have comes from God. Did you work hard for your daily sustenance? Good on you. But where did your natural abilities come from that you've developed in order to be able to work hard? Is there regularity to the seasons which allow for our needs to be met through the patterns of planting and harvesting? Why is there a universe that supports life and the good things that we can enjoy, like we've enjoyed our days? Why is the universe like that in the first place? See, ultimately, all good things and all our daily sustenance comes from God. And this prayer recognizes that. That's one reason why giving thanks before a meal is actually a great thing to do. It's a recognition that our needs are met by God. You can get into a pattern, oh, we just say grace. Or maybe we don't say grace because if we do, we'd just be saying it. No, it's actually a recognition. This comes from God. It's also a reason that praying for those who are less well off than us is good and right, even when we are enjoying God's good provision. Because we have no more right to his goodness than anyone else does. It's only his mercy that means we're blessed in that way. Give us each day our daily bread. Verse 4, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone against us. Forgiveness of sins is something else we need. And so Jesus teaches us to ask for it. The wonderful thing about this is, we know this prayer is answered when our trust is in Jesus. Forgiveness is guaranteed through what Jesus has done for us. So praying this recognizes that we need his forgiveness, but also comes with the assurance that we are forgiven in Christ. But then there's the second line. We pray this also as we forgive others. You can't really know and appreciate and feel the great forgiveness of God without wanting to show forgiveness to others. It just sort of naturally flows that if you know how much and how deeply God has forgiven you, you will be made ready to forgive. That's true. That's what these words of Jesus here reflect. That's why, by the way, the gospel of Jesus has been such a powerful force for reconciliation in so many situations of enormous hurt and bitter injustice in the world. When there's been these terrible injustices done, so often the gospel of Jesus becomes a source and a route for reconciliation. Because when you know you're forgiven, it inspires you to forgive. Therefore, we pray this. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And of course, we can ask God's help when it's hard to forgive. Note here as well, just a little side point. This is a kingdom need. This isn't just any old thing we think we need. I might think I need a better holiday or a faster car, flasher car. Fair enough, maybe I do. But this is bigger than that. As we forgive, as we ask for forgiveness, God is glorified. So we're praying for what we need in order to glorify God. This is for our much deeper good. It's much bigger than the flasher car or even the good holiday. This is a kingdom good. Finally, you're doing well on a hot afternoon. Finally, lead us not into temptation. This is the idea of being kept from falling into temptation or trial. Not that we'll always avoid these things completely, but being kept from, certainly the disciples that Jesus was originally teaching to pray, they were heading towards a great trial and temptation. The pressure to deny him as he went to the cross. But the prayer here is it will be led away by them. Even Peter, in fact, who fell under trial and gave into temptation to deny Jesus, he wasn't ultimately swallowed up by it. He was restored. This is a good thing to pray. Lead us not into temptation. Again, it's a kingdom prayer. So that we might be able to honor God with our lives as we should. Because we need his help to not fall into that temptation and not fall under trial. If you think you can survive trial and temptation without God's help, then I'm sorry, but you've understood very, very little about human beings and almost nothing of the gospel. We need to pray, lead us not into temptation. So there is this wonderful prayer for the Lord's fame and his kingdom, for our needs in his kingdom. As we finish considering how Jesus has taught us to pray through this prayer, I just want to note a few things. So if you switched off, if you're looking around the room, come back. Last couple of things to note. First of all, this says something about the goodness of praying set prayers sometimes. If ever there was a set prayer, like a predetermined prayer, this is it. The disciples say, teach us to pray, and Jesus say, okay, when you pray, say this. Boom, 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 form of words. This is a set prayer. Now, spontaneous prayers are great. Set, thought out, and planned prayers can be wonderful too. They can correct our natural imbalances. They can teach us to pray better. That's actually why we pray some wonderful set prayers here in church. They're rich, carefully thought through prayers. And probably more than any other, it's good to pray this set prayer that Jesus gave. If ever there was a set prayer, it's this. But if ever there was a spiritual, surely it's the prayer that Jesus gave us. This is the height of spiritual praying. And so as we pray, it continues to teach us to pray. And connected to that, just a little something I find helpful is using this prayer Jesus taught as a guide and frame to our wider prayers. So we're praying longer prayers than this. You could use each line as a start and then fill things out. Hallowed be your name. And then pray things that would see his name honored. Your kingdom come. Pray for things that will help his kingdom to come. And so on. We're actually going to do that in a moment because I'm going to lead us in our church prayers together after the sermon. But it's a great thing. Let this prayer shape your prayers. And again, if you're ever not sure what to pray, why not just open up your Bible to Luke chapter 11, put a marker in there and leave it in there. Open up your Bible and pray this prayer. You never need to feel lost for what to pray again. You'll always have something to pray. And as you pray, as we pray, remember who we pray to. The good Father, the Father of the Lord Jesus, who is the one who gave himself up for us so that his Father would truly be our Father. Let's take a moment, let that sink in, and then I'll lead us in our prayers together. As we pray now, the prayers are going to be based on that prayer as we find it in Luke. And at the end, to kind of echo it and seal it off and confirm it, we're going to pray together the Lord's Prayer as it's found there in Luke chapter 11, verses 2 to 4. So it's worth having your Bible open to that. If you've got a church Bible, it's page 1041. It's fine. You can pray along in your heart when we come to that time. Let me lead us in prayer and we'll close by saying those words together. Father, thank you that in your great mercy we call on you, our good Father, through your Son, Jesus, by your Spirit. Hallowed be your name. We pray that all around the world people would honor your name, seeing your greatness, reveling in your wonder. We pray for your fame to increase throughout the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. We thank you for Zane and Karen heading overseas with their kids to see your name hallowed all the more. We pray that in the big city where they're going to end up, more and more people would see the wonder of what you have done in Jesus and would praise you for it, that you would use Zane and Karen and the kids in making that happen, that your name would be hallowed. Amen. Your kingdom come. Please let the kingdom spread through your people and your message by your Spirit. We pray for our mission partners, including Kaiser Julius and the work of Open Theological Seminary in Pakistan. May you use that work to build your kingdom there as more and more people recognize Jesus as King. We pray for ourselves and this part of this city, the south of Christchurch. We pray for your kingdom to come, for more people to come and see how great it is to have Jesus as King. And we pray that each of us may express your kingdom in our love and our care for others, our love for one another, our humility, our obedience. Please bless us, Lord, that we may anticipate the full coming of your kingdom by our lives until Jesus returns. Your kingdom come. Amen. Give us each day our daily bread. Thank you for the bread and the sustenance we have today. Help us to remember that all we need each day is in your hands. Give us thankful hearts. For those who lack daily bread, may you provide for them. May you use our generosity in that provision. May you make our hearts generous to those who have less. We pray for those in our family who have other particular physical or emotional needs at the moment. We remember especially Wynne and Pat Clancy. Remember Georgina Hickman, Peter Watson, Rosemary and Viv Mawson. Amen. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Help us, Lord, for our own good, to be conscious of the many ways we fall into sin before you and others. Please forgive us. We trust and accept and give you thanks for that forgiveness. We pray that we would have whole, forgiving attitudes towards those who wrong us. You will help us to seek reconciliation in the light of your mercy towards us. Bless us with that where it's hard, we pray, Father. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Amen. And lead us not into temptation. We ask for strength to stand against the many temptations and trials we face, including the temptation to deny you in one way or another. We pray for those amongst us who struggle with particular addictions and compulsions, that you would lead us away from these and help us to help in these struggles. Lead us not into temptation. Amen. Thank you for Jesus teaching us to pray in this way. Please help us to continue to pray and to learn more and more of him. Now we finish by saying the prayer that Jesus taught us from Luke's Gospel. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom, give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Amen. Amen.